Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Kristen Press.
And I'm Tobin Heath.
We're World Cup winners, Olympians, and the hosts of The Recap Show.
Every week, we sit down with the icons, disruptors, and game changers on the field and beyond it to talk victories, heartbreaks, and everything in between.
We've built a space where athletes, changemakers, and people creating the future of women's sports can show up and show off as their full, unapologetic selves.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Second and goal. Jacobs trying to bounce to the outside. Can he get there? Yes, he can. Touchdown. Green Bay takes the lead.
I think this game kind of eroded in the second half, and big plays were the death of us today. You're not going to be perfect out there. You got to keep fighting. And, you know, I just think there's a lot of ball and not enough fight on our side.
50-minute mark brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Temperatures for Sunday's matchup against the Colts will be chillier in the high 40s for that one. That's fan weather brought to you by our friends at the Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. All right, so Hayward there after the game. And I get it. I don't think Cam's words carry as much weight now because of what happened this offseason. And the fact that he made comments about needing to set up his family and take care of them and prioritizing making as much money as he could over winning and those things. At least that's how the comments came across to fans. So I think when he now functions as the vocal leader of the team, more Steelers fans roll their eyes. However, everybody who's listening right now watched as much as that of that game as they possibly could before you made a decision in the second half of that game to either stick it out and watch it unfold and unravel the way that it did, or you just said, the hell with it, I've seen enough, I'm going to bed. Either way, you woke up pissed off today. And to see and hear that from Hayward, there wasn't enough fight in us. He's right. I mean, I felt like they either went through the motions in the second half defensively, like their fate was sealed, or their response was, let's do dumb stuff.
They lost their composure big 100%. Time, Tony. They lost their composure, and it was very evident.
They were more interested in doing stuff post-whistle,
DK
shenanigans.
Metcalf poking guys in the eye or trying to.
Yeah, like it's a Three Stooges act.
Yeah,
it was just like I'm not going to say behavior beneath the Steelers because that makes it sound like the Steelers are still the gold standard of football, which they're not. But one of the quote-unquote hallmarks or calling cards of a Mike Tomlin defense or team in general, supposedly, is that, hey, if you're going to beat us, you got to do it for 60 minutes, and we don't mail it in, and we don't quit.
We're not going to beat ourselves, and we're not going to take ourselves mentally out of a game and things like that.
I mean, one of the things that he gets held up for and praised for by the national media is the fact that he's had, you know, bad teams or mediocre teams, and they've fought at the end of the year, even with the odds stacked against them, and they've won games to get back to 8-8 or at least keep themselves alive in the playoff race till the very end.
I mean, they got up off the, like, totally off the mat 2 years ago and made the playoffs from 7-7. They talked the year before about wanting to win games to keep Mike's streak alive. Like, for some of the dumbest reasons, they've hung in there. You know what they reminded me of? Like a college team in that later stages. You ever watch some of the Miami teams when they would actually get beat and they swagger around like the U, I mean?
Sure.
When they would start to get beat by a team that just had their number, same thing. Guys popping off, like undisciplined, just losing it. And that's what I saw for the last probably of that game. I don't know. Maybe I'm exaggerating how much of this went on, but it felt like for almost Like the last half of the fourth quarter, they were just completely out of it.
I don't think it would be an isolated incident or a one or two play thing if the guy who's been here for the longest amount of time, besides the head coach who's playing the game, says this afterwards. Clearly. Like, part of me, I'm not going to say I'm accepting this behavior or I'm tolerating it, because I'm not. But part of me understands it because I thought the Steelers were dead in the game. The fact that they played a game where the momentum changed as quickly as it did and as strongly as it did. I mean, people forget this. It happened last night, but I think already because of how bad the final score is, it kind of gets lost in everything. They led going into the fourth quarter.
For one play, but yes.
I know, but they were still in the lead technically.
When a game got to 22-19, they didn't have to fold up the tents and like close up shop.
But they did.
They were allowed to punch back, and yet it's... Here's what it seemed like to me. Maybe other people out there, 412-928-9370, see this differently. Maybe you do, Pony. The Packers were starting to knock on the door. Tomlin even said things, I think, at halftime, like we can't settle for field goals or whatever.
Even though I'm deciding to put the kicker on the field.
Yeah, whatever, right.
Fourth and short.
But like it felt like there was a wave coming that was going to hit them. And once they finally lost the actual lead in literal terms, like they just could not recover from that. Like they've won games. We've seen them win games where it feels like they should be getting killed, right?
Yep.
And then they end up winning. In this particular sense, once Green Bay finally broke the door down, there was no resistance. There was no pushback. It was almost like the Steelers were waiting for them to do it. And once it finally happened, they just said, okay,
it's honestly,
you got us.
One of the reasons why I think it's like super embarrassing is because you've got a coach who's won a lot of games. You've got a quarterback who's won a Super Bowl and won a lot of games. You've got tons of players on the defensive side of the ball that have been in the NFL for a long time, that have watched crazy things happen. They've watched losses turn into wins. They've seen wins turn into losses. They've been a part of games where it looked over with 5 minutes left and the outcome shifted. 2 minutes left, 1 minute left, maybe even seconds left. And these guys just basically put their tail between their legs and said, nope, this one's over. Let's move on to Indianapolis. There's still another 12 minutes to play, but really there's no point. Let's get out of here. Let's get home. It's late. Let's all go to bed and think up, and the sun will come up tomorrow.
There are lots
basically.
Of guys on this team who were still on this team when a couple of years ago they needed to block an extra point in the season opener just to get to overtime and then won the game.
Yeah, good point.
They've also got guys who have some pedigree. Jalen Ramsey has won a Super Bowl.
Yeah. I also think this is the other point about when you say we didn't fight hard, we didn't try. Effort is such a buzzword for fans because we look at them and say they're making millions of dollars to play a game. They're making absurd amounts of money to play a sport. Everybody listening to this station, I would say 99% of them, probably at one point in their life, maybe it was really dumb, but in for a split second thought, I'd love to play professional sports. I want to be a pro baseball player, football player, hockey player, whatever.
Well, when people are kids, right? They all want to do that.
Right. So when you watch a team that pretty much says, no, we're not trying our hardest anymore. We're not in it anymore. We don't have heart. We don't have guts. We don't have pride. We don't have effort, any of those things. It really pisses people off. $160 million, $41 million for an edge rusher. $20 million for a safety. $20 million for a defensive tackle.
How much are they paying Slay?
Slay over $10 million.
Pony, I would have, on Savion Williams' touchdown, if Darius Slay launches himself at Savion Williams and Williams has to like do a stretch routine to get the ball over the pylon.
Yeah, that whole play was a business decision for him.
But it's still a touchdown in the end. I'd say something like, hate the play, wish they had called the block in the back or whatever, but at least Slay tried. There were how many plays last night where you couldn't even say at least so-and-so tried?
Here's Anthony on the fan. Hello, Anthony.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm in the airport right now doing the walk of shame here.
Oh, man.
Quickly. Can't keep trying to do the same thing over again, expecting different results. Something's got to change, and you guys are dead on. Also, if you'd allow me 10 seconds, I met a lady Friday morning by the name of Sandy Turner. She's from Coropolis, and she would love to be one of the draft pick announcers at the upcoming draft.
All right. Thank you, Anthony.
From Coropolis.
Yes.
Hi, Sandy. You live in the same mailing zip code as me.
I didn't let that go out over the air because I wasn't sure about putting full names out there in that situation.
That's a pretty common name, though.
Yeah.
She just wants to... Man, who would want to make a Steelers draft pick in 2026 at this draft? With the 16th pick of the first round of the night of the 2026 NFL draft, the Steelers take another a strong safety from James Madison.
A quarterback Mike Tomlin won't know how to develop. Another corner that they're going to screw up. I rattled off the names on Twitter today of all of the defensive backs they've drafted in the last 10 years. No wonder they've had to like go out and get all these veteran guys to patch holes and fill spots. Sean Davis, Artie Burns, Brian Allen, Cam Sutton, Marcus Allen, not the good one, Terrell Edmonds, Justin Lane, Antoine Brooks, Trey Norwood, Corey Trice, Joey Porter Jr., Ryan Watts, Dante Kent.
How many of those guys alone are just from Maryland?
Edmonds won.
No, he went to Virginia
Tech. Virginia Tech, that's right. His dad played in Maryland.
Sean Davis was a Maryland
guy. He actually grew up in Maryland, I think.
Sean Davis, Maryland.
Antoine Brooks, Maryland.
Who's the worst guy of that bunch? Lane? Lane might be my favorite one.
Was a third-round pick.
Because they acted like they were going to be
he's a Maryland guy?
Yeah. They acted like they were the only coaching staff that could get the most of him. Didn't Lane's dad, because he was a Cleveland kid by birth, like paint their Browns theme bathroom Steelers colors.
Yep. He said, "This is my conversion. I'm changing my allegiances." And the kid never played and pretty much stunk. Of those guys, how many actually turned out to be starters? Edmonds, first round pick, Porter Jr., second round pick, too.
I mean, do you count Burns by default?
Not with the Steelers, really.
How has Burns had like a decade long career too? That's a miracle.
Yeah, but he's done it as like
as an end of the roster guy.
Here is, let's talk to Alec. He's on the fan. Hello, Alec.
How's it going, guys?
Hey, man.
So lifelong Steelers fan. I was actually, born into it, brainwashed. My middle name's Foster. Actually, I was born in 95 after Barry Foster.
Love it.
So for me, man, it's the same crap every single time. I don't know why we got away from the zone blitz. I mean, I know Dick LeBeau has been gone for, however so long, but it's the same crap every single time. I mean, we saw Ja'Marr Chase had, 24 targets?
23, but who's counting?
Right, exactly. So not even that. It's just, my grandma could...
The problem is that the head coach says the same thing almost every time, which is, we've got to make sure we stop the run. What's the Mike Tomlin Mad Libs? Got to stop the run. Got to win possession downs.
Can't turn the ball over.
Can't turn the ball over.
Got to take the ball away.
Got to capitalize when we're in the red zone.
Yeah.
I mean, he really does have a checklist for any game.
Football's not that complicated, so a lot of those things are like obvious points.
Hold on. I disagree, though. Actually having good schemes that stop modern offense is complicated.
No, I understand. Okay, but I'm saying these are like the axioms that we're going to live by, the maxims we're going to live by in every game.
Sure, those are simple, but the mechanisms by which you accomplish them are often complex, and my problem is that Mike's methodology for actually trying to accomplish them often seems as simple as the explanation itself.
They've become more of a blitzing team this week than ever under Tomlin, or not just this game, but all year. They've blitzed more than they really ever have since he took over for LeBeau, and they've gotten terrible results. So
I guess that his big change? We hung back against Flacco. We're going to heat up Jordan Love. It would be good if you had some blitzes that were creative enough to A, actually get to him. B, if you were going to blitz a lot, it would probably behoove you to have your best pass rush pressure generator on the field more than, barely a third of the snaps defensively? 24 of them from Nick Herbig.
Yeah, so he averaged 6 snaps a quarter. That's it.
You know, we all have to own it. Certainly you start with the schematics, man, because, that's the leadership component of it. And certainly we'll be looking at everything that we're doing, man, because some of these problems are somewhat repetitive and we're not getting better fast enough.
Mike Tomlin's approach sounds like we're going to leave no stone unturned. But is he looking at the right stones? Does he have the right stones to do it? Both players, the brains there, his own football acumen at this point? I think all valid questions, given how badly this defense has played. The biggest reason why they're riding a two-game losing streak right now. And even though they've got a comfortable lead on the Bengals and the Ravens in the division, doesn't feel like it's a firm grasp because of who the Ravens are getting back Thursday, Lamar, and how the Steelers have performed with really good offenses and outstanding quarterbacks ahead of them in the next few weeks. Listen to the PM Team on Demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. Today, 412-928-9370. When the Steelers lose, we want to hear from you. Here is Lou in Staten Island. Hello, Lou.
Hey, boys. How are things going? Chris, you're absolutely right. You said it earlier. No matter how many times I call the station, Andrew rolls off all the stats, nothing's going to change with this head coach and this franchise until the owner wakes up. And I don't want to disrespect the show. I've been sort of nice lately, but I'm going to rant for a little bit if it's okay. Is it okay?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. The three adjectives that describe this owner, I'm not going to talk about the coach. He's either gutless because he's afraid to fire his coach. I'm going to say it. He's either clueless because he thinks that the product is actually decent and he has a chance to win a playoff game. Or he's satisfied. Or a combination of the three. But how could you be satisfied when you've had a decade, Art, without a playoff win? A freaking decade. We watched the same stuff over and over again. It's not a two-game slide, fellas. The last 12 games, they've given up almost 30 points a game.
Wow.
Look back the stats from last year.
I believe it.
I think it's 28.6, something like that. So I'm going to call on the fan base. And I got this idea, believe it or not, from a Jet fan. That's how low we've gotten.
Oh, geez.
Is this Fireman Ed?
Ask the fan base to do. No. I'm going to ask the fan base to do this week. I'm not going to ask you to sell your tickets. I'm not going to ask you to drop your yearly tickets. No. What I want the fan base to do is this. Because obviously the owner doesn't care about losing money or spending money, I should say, because he's actually done that this year. And he doesn't care about results like we do. Because if he did, it wouldn't come down to what I'm about to say, which is this. Don't sell your tickets, but don't go to the game. Have that stadium on Sunday be 75% empty, give up another 35 points, and then let's see what the owner has to say. Because somebody needs to do something and force this owner to wake up out of his ridiculous fog or grow a set.
I do wonder, thanks Lou, what would happen if there were Fire Tomlin chants at the game consistently.
I'm sort of surprised that there haven't been loud, consistent ones already. I guess technically somebody could rebut me with, Chris, I know you guys are mad, but they're in first place still right now.
And that's what I think the owner would say. The owner's response to all of this anger and complete
We're in first place. Yeah, we're 4-3.
Disenchantment with the state of the team would be, we're in first place, and we had a great quarterback for almost 20 years, and since he left, we haven't had a losing season, and we even managed to have playoff seasons when he was at the end. And that's what he would say. He would give the franchise credit for navigating this uncertain time without finding...
bottoming out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what he would do.
Of Lou, by the way, shout out to Lou. I love a good regional dialect. I had always heard people say idea was something that people from that area said. I don't think I've ever actually heard it. I think that's how mad Lou was.
But two things have happened here when the fans have gotten loud. An offensive coordinator got fired, which had never happened in the history of the team since the Rooneys took over. And I think they were forced into making a quarterback change before they were ready, from Trubisky to Pickett. Now, the quarterback change didn't work. The offensive coordinator change, I do think they've gotten better in that regard with Smith to Canada.
Hard to have been worse than they were with Canada.
I don't think the public pressure was insignificant or inconsequential with either of those two situations.
Well, I also
Chris.
Think, though, that in the case of Canada being fired specifically, that is a comparative pittance to have to pay a guy to go away than to get something done on the Mike Tomlin front. And just to address Lou's actual three words, he's either gutless, is Art Rooney, he's either clueless, or he's satisfied. I think there's one that's clearly worse than the others there, and that's one I think he is. I think he's satisfied.
So do I.
I think that's the one of those three.
I think he's saying maintaining the course here and what they're doing is just fine.
Jim Rooney gave the game away when he gave that whole win more than the median or whatever.
Yep.
That is correct. That is how that family, or at least a couple of those guys, think.
Here's Joe next. Hello, Joe.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, man.
Appreciate being on hold at the same time as the Green Bay Packers possession last night. But no, why do they not move T.J. Watt around? You look at Myles Garrett. You look at Micah Parsons.
Because he doesn't want
to. I can't kill them for it. He doesn't want to.
And then, okay. Well, he's been on a milk carton for the last 2 weeks, so, like, do something.
I don't disagree with you.
I've been a big Tomlin backer, and finally, I think I'm off. Like, James Franklin of the NFL.
Well, I think that's I think that's unfair because Franklin never won anything. This guy's got a Super Bowl and he's been to another. So tell me when James Franklin gets to a national championship game and actually wins one.
Yeah, but in terms of lately, if we understand that he's been to one and won another one.
Yeah.
In terms of lately, last decade, just say.
Right.
They're completely the same guy.
Well, Mike's turned into Marvin Lewis is what he's done. That's who he's become. He's become a coach who's synonymous with having slightly better than average teams that are roadkill
that are DOA, that are DOA the minute they get to the playoffs.
Yeah.
Actually, to be fair, that's actually unfair to Marvin Lewis. You know why? Some of his Bengals teams had been far more competitive in playoff games. I mean, it took an act of God for them to biff one to the Steelers with McCarron in there. Mike hasn't even been competitive in a game in how many years in the playoffs?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
The Recap Show is an unfiltered inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports and all things culture. From two U.S. Women's National Team World Cup champions and Olympians, follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Donnie is on his way back from his extravagant 30th birthday celebration and a big fancy smancy wedding in Florida. This segment is called Donnie's Game Balls. We don't have Donnie today, so we'll be handing out our game balls instead. Pretty much football's version or our version of three stars, like you see after an NHL game. Number three for me, game balls. I actually did give out one Steelers ball, and it goes to this guy.
As you see, 50-plus twice, we'll try to add a third. Boswell did it again.
Yeah. If the Steelers had won the game, the story probably would have been the Steelers have Chris Boswell and the Packers don't. So I'm not going to dock him for pretty much being a cyborg and being automatic from 50-plus in a game the Steelers lost. When they led through 45 minutes, he was the MVP of the game. So I'm tipping my cap to Chris Boswell in a stadium where 50-yarders used to be worse than a coin flip. He's made them a slam dunk.
He does not make my list. I'm going with a clean sweep here. I will say it isn't just that he makes them. It's that he basically center cuts every single one of them.
Let me guess, you have Parsons third?
It's very rare that he doesn't just center cut a field goal. I have Rashawn Gary third, two sacks.
Wow.
I mean, okay. I think Parsons was a force to be reckoned with. He was an example of how when you have a player who should be getting, who's getting 40-plus million a year, 46 in his case, I guess, or yep, whatever it is, He was participating in the game the way you'd hope. He was running around like a wild man, but I'm going to give production a nod here. Rashawn Gary is one of the elder statesmen of that team, one of the few holdovers from when Rodgers was last there. They've turned over a decent chunk of that roster since then. He had two sacks. He sacked Rodgers right off the jump in this game. I just thought he was good, and I could have given it to Parsons, but just didn't feel like it. By the way.
Yeah. That's because you're anti-Penn State.
Parsons, I feel like, is on the razor's edge of sanity most of the time. He appears to be a very scary human being. Did you see they go and do the post game where they were supposed to get championship belts for those guys, and they're down with Melissa Stark, and she's like, we got these 50-cent trophies, and we put this little funny sticker on the front, and we're going to ship the trophies to these guys for tight end, you know, whatever, National Tight Ends Day.
Yep.
She hands Parsons a trophy, and I swear to God, I thought he was about to, like throw it or be awkward or be like hyper aggressive. Scary, scary human being.
Well, he's definitely got a career in media because he's not opposed to saying kind of out of pocket things and acting that way.
Bony. When he was doing the interview with her, he looked like he was like ready to snap.
Well, he controlled his emotions and didn't take any dumb, stupid penalties, which I can't say about the guys we lined up against. My number two star is a guy that completed 20 straight passes last night.
Emmanuel Wilson, the running back here for this 2-point attempt by Green Bay, their first of the season. And in motion to the left side, wide open. Great play design. Romeo Doubs adds the deuce.
Yeah, great play design when the other team only has 10 guys on the field. Another hat tip to Mike Tomlin, his $20 million a year salary at work there on that play. Love at times made it look really easy, but he also... And he did this 2 years ago in the game the Steelers beat the Packers in. He makes probably 3 to 4 throws a game that remind you, oh, this is why they drafted this dude when Aaron Rodgers was still playing like the best quarterback in the NFL. There's just so much raw talent there in terms of what he can do with his arm to get balls to certain places. And he processes pretty good, too. I didn't think that was going to necessarily happen out of Utah State. He looked like a raw piece of clay.
He's an example, though, of if you give a guy time to like study under somebody, and Rodgers clearly was better to him than Favre was to Rodgers. I think he soaked it all in, and that helped him. How could you deny that?
Sure did. So obviously they put him in a good incubator to perform.
Sure.
But no one can argue that Tomlin's a better coach than LaFleur. When LaFleur took a guy who was drafted in the late 20s, turned him into one of the better quarterbacks in the NFL, Tomlin took a guy in the early 20s, and he's now on, what, his fourth team?
Don't worry, I'm sure the Raiders coaches are just champing at the bit to get him out there so he can fumble another snap.
Did you have Love 2?
I actually had him 1. You and I have 2 and 1 flipped. I could have gone either way. I kind of put him 1 because I thought even though there was a lot of yak yardage for him, he was still just in total command. I'm not even sure Tomlin's a better coach right now than Peter LaFleur from Dodgeball. Pony.
How about Pat Narduzzi?
Pat Narduzzi's right now got the highest approval rating this side of Dan Muse.
He's got a glow up going on right
now. One more thing, by the way. One more thing on Jordan Love, since you brought it up and compared him to Pickett. There are two types of quarterbacks you can draft in the mid to late 20s in the first round of the NFL draft.
Mm-hmm.
A guy with big raw talent who needs a lot of molding and gotten ready.
Yeah.
And a guy who has minimal raw talent, higher floor, lower ceiling.
All right. Yeah. High floor.
Do you want to know what I would take that risk on 100 times out of 100?
Yeah.
The Jordan Love type or the, this guy who wasn't even picked in the 20s, Lamar Jackson type.
I think you're right, but not with this team. I don't think
says more about this team and the way they choose to surround these players and all that stuff.
I think I need the finished product quarterback, not the guy who.
No, that's it. For as long as Mike Tomlin is here, that is what you need.
And here is my number one star.
From the 16 to Kraft, the tight end with blocking. Kraft inside the 5 to the end zone. Touchdown. Tucker Kraft.
This happens sometimes. I think a guy comes into a game, he's got a good reputation, he's having a good year.
Mm-hmm.
He goes off, and certain people cope by just wanting to give the guy tons of praise and plaudits and credit for what he did.
Mm-hmm.
They made Tucker Kraft look like Rob Gronkowski at the height of his powers. He's not that good of a tight end. He's a solid player.
PFF had him ranked lower than Freiermuth in their tight end rankings on that opening thing. I swear to God.
What?
He ranked 19th.
Going into the game. Yeah.
When they do the intro and they have those hilarious out-of-context PFF rankings, right. He was 19th out of 76 and Pat was 17th.
He's no their number one target, Pat, because they share the wealth and there's not an alpha guy there like DK Metcalf here.
I don't know, man. He looked like an alpha guy against that secondary.
Well, yeah, they made it look men versus boys at various points.
I would just say this about him. And this goes back to, obviously, I had him two and Love one. It does show, though, that it's easy. If you're a great run after catch guy like he is, part of run after catch that I would hammer home and give Love credit for is you got to throw the guy the ball in a spot where he can catch it on the move and have his head of steam already going.
Yeah.
How many times did he catch the ball at like a standstill? Seriously, not many. Most
well, the jump ball, he had to catch it, come down with it, and then take off.
No, but I'm saying like those little swing passes, right? He's scoring on those because he's catching them running up the field because the ball is literally in the perfect spot. And it's just, man, and do those guys want to tackle? I know he's a big, strong dude from South Dakota, Timberlake, South Dakota, where they showed his bar. He's got a stake in the bar. Great. Does anybody in that secondary want to tackle?
Yeah, it was just a pathetic, putrid tackling.
I mean, he's just doing like college level stiff arms. Joey Porter, get off of
horrendous.
Me. Darius Slay, I didn't even know if Slay attempted to. Any guy that attempted to tackle him did a feeble attempt and then got shoved in the face for their troubles.
PM team, three star game balls. It's like three stars. I went Boswell, Love, Kraft. Mulsey went Gary.
Rashawn Gary, Kraft, and Love.
There you go.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
The Recap Show is an unfiltered inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.